Do you find yourself running out of time to accomplish your work? Are you spending time doing things that you're not that good at? There are effective ways to outsource these tasks so you can focus on your business. This is the Virtual Success Show. We bring the inside scoop on outsourcing success for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. And now, here are your hosts, Matt Maloof and Barbara Turley.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another show of Virtual Success, where we give you the inside scoop on outsourcing success for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. And I'm joined as always by my fantastic co-host, Matt Maloof. Matt, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Barb?
I'm great, thanks. Great, thanks. Excited about today's show as always, because we've got a new guest on the show today, yes. Natalie Lussier, who a lot of listeners will be very familiar with, because Natalie is someone I've followed myself in my own entrepreneurial journey for a long time. She's the founder of Ambition Alley, which has the software tools Access Alley, which is a membership site, a fantastic membership site plugin, I think, if I'm using the right term. And she also has Pop-Up Alley, which is a pop-up form builder on websites. So I love the fact that Natalie, not only does she have a team, a virtual team that we're going to talk about today, but she's also a female kind of really going for it in the tech space, which is, not that common. So getting more common. But Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here, guys.
Great. So Natalie, just to kick off, can you just give us maybe just a quick idea what you're up to today, kind of just the quick synopsis of where you started and this whole virtual team thing. So you started out, I think, as a web developer.
Yeah. So I like to go way back to how I got started on the web. So I started making websites when I was just 12 years old. And I, you know, studied software engineering, and I had this job offer on Wall Street that I turned down to start my first business. And that very first business was in the health space and the info product kind of marketing space. And I quickly learned that really my gift was technology. But for some reason, when I was in the corporate world, I didn't really enjoy my work in that space. So I realized, okay, let's go back to tech. Let's focus on that. So I did do web design in those early days. And then I switched off to doing more consulting and then more training in the tech space and marketing space. And then eventually kind of came full circle and I started designing software where instead of teaching people how to use tech tools, I designed the tech tools to make it easier for them to achieve their results. So that is kind of how I got to where I am today with our Ambition Ally products for ambitious business owners.
Yeah. And what I love about what you've done actually is that your products are very, they're very designed. They're beautifully designed. So they make everything look good. Ambition Alley makes everything look good on your membership site. I've had a look at it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. So talk to us a little bit then. I mean, obviously, we're here to talk about virtual teams. And, you know, I know you've got seven people on your team, and including your husband, and they're all virtual, which is great. Perfect for this show. So talk to me a little bit about what the team looks like today. I guess who are they? Where are they based?
Yeah, so the only people who work together in person are my husband and I, because obviously we live together. So those are the two of us. And then we've got people in, we've got one person in Canada, one person on the West Coast, two or three in the central time zone, and then one in the Philippines. And basically how it works is we have a project manager. So she really helps to make sure that everybody's working on the things they should be working on, kind of helps progress our different goals and different projects that we're working on. And then we have basically development, editorial, marketing, and support, and there's a lot of things going on, and also editing and kind of project management stuff too.
Great. Wow. That sounds like a well-oiled machine.
So yeah. So everybody has their strengths, and I think that we work really well together, and I'm more than happy to talk about how we make that happen virtually, because that can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. And I definitely want to get into that. But to kick off, can we just take a step back to your first hire? Like, did you always know you were going to have this virtual team, or, you know, what was the first step into that for you?
So the first real hire was virtual, and she's actually still with us today. And really, it was when I I was reaching this point where I couldn't do everything myself anymore. And at the time I was doing a lot of consulting and, you know, doing a lot of client work. And I realized, okay, like I just can't handle everything anymore. I need somebody to at least take some of the stuff I'm doing and kind of complete it or get it, you know, really ready to go out into the world. So I hired my first virtual assistant and she worked, I think, 5 hours a week at most. It was very, very minimal. But we actually had one phone call when I hired her and she was recommended to me. And then we basically did not have a phone call for almost a whole year after that. And we worked together very well, surprisingly, without any actual phone conversations. So we did everything through our project management tool, which we still use today, which is called Asana. But obviously any tool you use is going to be great as long as you're really using it. So we basically assigned things and reviewed things and everything through that tool. So that was my first hire, kind of the business that we have today. I did kind of contract with other people a little bit before then, but that was kind of the first real deal.
I know Matt's probably salivating at this point as well over the fact that, you know, I just want to focus on this area for a second before we move on to the sort of bigger team thing. I mean, you've mentioned Asana. Both Matt and I are huge advocates of Asana or Trello or whatever people want to use. But the key thing to making this sort of stuff work is using a project management tool. Now, you got away with not even having a phone call. So talk to me about that, because some of our clients, I would admit, at Virtual Angel Hub, we've said, look, you definitely need a project management tool. And for those who still struggle, we recommend huddles and 10-minute catch-ups each day and things like that. But talk to me about how did you... You must have had everything very, very detailed in Asana if you were able to not even have a phone call.
Yeah. And today we definitely do have phone calls. So I'm not saying that I recommend that method. But definitely we had things very well oiled in Asana. And what we had was a lot of recurring tasks. So especially for those early days, some of the things that my virtual assistant did were kind of the same things in and out. So, you know, that scheduling the newsletter or handling certain things in support or whatever. Like they were very kind of specific step-by-step type things. And then the other thing that we had that we still have to this day is our wiki. So on the wiki, I try to detail, and obviously now the team also helps detail the steps for doing things so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. So if we get like a support ticket and it's like, okay, how do you handle this specific case? Usually there is either a wiki or in our case, these days, a canned response or something that we can use so that we're not off the top of our head trying to come up with a solution every single time.
Natalie, when you first hired your first VA 5 hours a week, the projects or tasks that you asked her to do, did you have systems already for those?
I sort of did. I didn't really think of them that way, but I did in my mind. Like I always did things a certain way. And when I realized like, okay, it doesn't have to be like, you know, the system, the word system can be daunting for people, I think. So when I just realized like, let me just write down how I do things, you know, every week, and she can just take the parts that she'll handle and I'll take the parts that I'll always handle. And that just made it so much easier. So I had to actually write down those things and how I did them. And sometimes I did record little videos too, where it was like, okay, well, this is how I click around and do these things. And that way I didn't have to do it every single time, but somebody else could just watch the video and do it.
Fantastic. I mean, and that's a really interesting point that you make, because I think many business owners that are starting out with a virtual assistant and the like have a certain way that they do it, but they may not have it documented yet. And I like the way you framed that. I just wrote down how I do it. And then we had a discussion and we worked out who would do what and away it went. And I think that's a big mistake many entrepreneurs make, is actually not taking the time just to write that down. It's either assuming that they'll know how to do it, or you can have a quick conversation and they'll get it. So I think that's a very, very interesting point.
Yeah, I love as well, Natalie, that you mentioned that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of systems and processes, because they are. But I think it's because it sounds more awful than it is and boring. I would say it sounds boring. But a process can be three steps. It could be open this, log in, click this button, go there. That can be a process, you know, or a video to show you, like show someone how you're doing something on a screen can be really easy to put together as well. And it creates, I guess, in your first person, you were already very busy by the sound of it, by the time you took that person on. Yep. So in order for it not to be another job for you, you kind of had to get your thoughts down on paper or down into Asana about how to do stuff. Would I be right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the Asana project, it was pretty simple, but in that Asana task, it had like the full description of what to do. And, you know, that was a recurring task. So we never lost that information. But if it is like these days, if we do create something that seems like a more one-time thing, we'll always save how we do it in the wiki page somewhere so that we don't lose that information. So the next time, maybe it's like a year later, we have to do the same thing. Well, at least we still have all that information. So it's throwing away work.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So you got off to a good start there. So I just want the listeners who are starting out to know that, you know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, a project management tool is key. Like, you know, we get clients saying to us, I don't want to use one. I just want to ping them on Skype. And I just go, it's going to fail. It'll fail because you need to have if you're running virtual anything, you need to have something that brings everyone together, even if it's only two people. Like a Asana.
Even beyond that, Barb, even if you're not running virtual, it's so essential in every business, I believe.
Yeah. So Natalie, so you had your 5 hours a week, got this person 5 hours a week, and then all of a sudden, how quickly did you realize that you could probably have this person for a lot more and get a lot more done and do a lot more business?
Yeah. It's interesting because she stayed at 5 hours. I think she went up to 10 hours a week. And I think we stayed like that, like I said, for about a year at about the 10 hours a week. But quickly I hired my husband. So that was my next real full-time hire. So that really helped a lot. And obviously it was a little bit easier to be working in person with him, but he was brand new to the business and had no idea kind of what we were really doing. So he had to really be ramped up. And then after that, we hired a lot of the other people, we hired another developer. And then actually it was the year that I was pregnant is when we really had a big hiring spree. And that's when we hired the project manager, support, and another editorial person. And then actually my VA from the very beginning came on full-time at the time too.
I think I remember you writing about this. I remember you being pregnant and writing about this. And you hired a lot of people all at once. How overwhelming was that? Or was it okay because you'd kind of come through you'd started out slow, got your VA, your husband, one more person, and then all of a sudden, boom, you were able to hire because you had a process maybe for being able to delegate?
Yeah, exactly. And actually the person that we hired, our project manager, did a lot of the help and the kind of hiring for us. Like she kind of helped do some of the hiring stuff, which is like, you know, interviewing and making sure that they're a right fit, and actually helped onboard them. So even though I was actually, you know, I had just given birth when one of our new team members came on board, and my husband was still available to, like, you know, help her and answer questions and kind of guide her as she came on board. But the project manager and the rest of the team kind of trained her more than I did at that point. So yeah, I think having enough people on board that kind of know what's going on. And then also the other interesting thing that happened is because I did take some time off for maternity leave, the team basically told me that it was some of the best like learning that they did in the business because they had to figure things out and they had to ask each other questions and really kind of, you know, document stuff and learn stuff and just have it all, you know, they were kind of have to be resourceful for themselves.
You know, I had the same experience in my business when I gave birth. We had our biggest month in our business the month that I was in. I gave birth and I wasn't actually there. And I thought,
that's amazing, right?
Am I the biggest roadblock? Was I the roadblock? You know, because your team actually have to step up and they sort of feel this sense of responsibility all of a sudden because you physically can't be there. So as a woman entrepreneur, I think sometimes having a baby is the best business growth thing you can do if you set it up right beforehand.
Absolutely.
And for all the guys listening out there who can't have babies, no, also, if you actually acknowledge the concept here, it's actually firing yourself from your current role and actually making it non-negotiable. To be honest, it's a concept we talk about regularly in business, which is to fire yourself from your role. But unless there's an actual number one, great desire, and number two, an actual need for that to happen, often you can just find yourself doing the same things over and over again, day in, day out. So to everybody out there, understand the concept that Natalie and Barbara are talking about here, which is force yourself to fire yourself from the your job or jobs in the business and leverage it out. And it's amazing what will happen.
Yeah, allow people to kind of step up, I guess. Now, on that point, Natalie, like, were you nervous? I mean, people stepped up, but your how much leeway did you sort of give people? Was it sort of go for your life sort of thing, or?
Well, I was still obviously I was offline, but if something did blow up, right, like they could get in touch with me. Right. It wasn't completely disconnected, but, and actually, the team did reach out a couple times, but usually it was with an opportunity or something that felt important enough to put in front of me. So it wasn't like a problem or anything like that. So I thought that was really interesting to see what came out of it. It wasn't like, oh no, like, I'm not sure what to do. It's more like, hey, we really think you should jump on this because it's going to be a great opportunity. So one of them was like a speaking gig that they wanted me to apply for and stuff, and ended up being a great fit and speaking there. So that was kind of fun.
Good. So let's talk now. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I agree with you, when you've got one VA, there's major challenges with that as well, with communication. But then what I notice is once people start building teams, they have to realize that there's an up-leveling first for you as a business owner if you're starting to go to 2, 3, 4 people. And then once you get past about, I find, 3 people, you're starting to get into managing teams, which is a whole other gig. And then you've got people, all of a sudden, it's not just everyone reporting to you. They've got to report to each other and they're working on things together. So how do you manage this structure now with the 7 people that you have?
We do a couple of different things. So one of the things that we do is kind of what you mentioned. We have a daily stand-up meeting. So every day we have like a quick 5 to 10 minute call where we go over what everybody's working on, if there's any roadblocks or any questions, where people can say like, hey, are you done with this thing? Or I'm wondering about that. And so that can kind of quickly get us unstuck if we do get stuck. And especially because we're sometimes in slightly different time zones, it's important to have a time where we can all connect very obviously during the day. So that's something that has been really helpful. The other thing that we do is we do have, in our Asana tasks, we use a lot of subtasks when we're doing projects. Yeah. So we'll have, one thing assigned to one person, and then that, okay, once I'm done with my piece of this work, it's going to get passed on to this other person on the team. So when you check it off, that person will get notified, or sometimes you can do like a depends on kind of thing in Asana. So like someone will know like, okay, you can start working on this now because this other piece is done. So we try to kind of have a clear flow between all the work that needs to get done. And then also we do have sub meetings. So for example, we have like a marketing meeting. So all the people who are responsible for more marketing and editorial ads and that kind of thing will meet. And then we have a development meeting. So we talk all about, new features and all that stuff and prioritizing stuff on that meeting. So we do communicate a lot more than in those early days, for sure.
And are you in all those meetings?
Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. It really depends on kind of the main focus.
Yeah. Oh, that's key. So sometimes your team are now having meetings by themselves, which has actually happened to me recently as well. It's great when they have a meeting by themselves and just tell you the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's the best thing for sure.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Also, speaking of meetings, so I do have our project manager actually has one-on-one calls with everybody on the team. So if they have concerns or, if they're going through anything or, working on their personal development inside the company, that it happens with her. And then she'll report to us and tell us kind of how the team is doing and how everything's going. So that kind of saves me a little bit of time because I do have the baby and all these other, things going on too.
Absolutely. Matt, I'm sure, when we had Taki Moore on the show, we had Taki, who's a sort of a big name in the coaching area. He talked quite a lot about, giving responsibility to other people for meetings. I mean, I know, Matt, you've got quite a lot of connection with Taki, so I'm sure you've got a couple of things to say here.
Absolutely. And I think as I was just writing some notes as you were talking there, Natalie. Yeah, it's a common theme that I think, Barbara, you and I hear regularly is as you develop with your team, the importance of meetings becomes more and more important. Like it just heightens. And, I like what Natalie, you were talking about, that daily meeting. I think that's been a game changer across all the businesses I've had over the years now. And in the businesses that I've helped implement the daily meeting, the daily huddle, And what's really interesting is that it can be done in what Natalie's describing in a virtual way, not just in an office with people standing around and having that meeting. And it really comes down to your mindset to take the theory of these the concepts and implement them into your style of business. Natalie, does each meeting have a strong agenda?
It does. I mean, the daily meetings have a very clear structure where we just go around and everybody shares what they're working on and if they need help on anything. And then we usually go over our numbers for the day or the previous day. And for the other meetings, when it comes to marketing and development, it's very clear. And we basically create, and actually for the daily, we also have a weekly meeting, which I didn't mention, but the weekly meeting, we have like topics that we want to discuss that have come up over the past week or kind of looking forward towards what's coming up. And we always have an agenda before we have those meetings. And again, my project manager is amazing and she creates all of those before we have our meetings. And everybody has to go in and update, you know, either the topics they want to discuss or kind of see what we're going to be chatting about before we get on the call together.
Yeah, fantastic.
And Natalie, where did you find that project manager?
She's amazing. That was actually a very interesting journey. So we had hired somebody and she ended up getting another job and leaving. And I was kind of devastated because it was like a couple months before I was about to give birth. And, you know, we had worked so hard to find her. And she's like, but, you know, you should try hiring my friend. And I was like, I don't know, like, because we had spent all this effort doing all these interviews. And finally, I'm like, okay, I'll talk to her. And we did. We hired her and she's been amazing. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, even though it was very stressful at the time. It ended up working out beautifully.
I see. Very good. Matt, sorry, I cut you off there. What were you going to say?
No. All good. So Natalie, knowing what you now know in using virtual teams, what would say be your top three pieces of advice to people who are just about to start engaging their first virtual assistant?
Okay, I like this question. So the first thing I would say is be very clear what role you're hiring this person for and also kind of what their skill set needs to be for that role. I think sometimes, you know, I think all of us can make this mistake where we're like, I want somebody who can do everything. And it's very unrealistic to expect somebody to be able to, you know, for example, like write copy, handle tech stuff, do customer support, do sales, do project management, and, you know, walk your dog. I mean, like, I'm just making that up, but you know what I mean? It's a lot to expect one person to be the jack of all trades that can do everything. So having a really clear role and what kind of tasks and projects this person is going to be working on, I think is key, because that you can find the right person who can do it. And then the other thing is, when you are hiring somebody, I would recommend, you know, take however much time it takes you to do something and pretty much double or triple it for the first little while, because you're going to be training. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I'm going to hire somebody, I'm going to have instantly like twice as much time as I had before. But actually, I think it's the opposite. You're going to have less time until they're fully onboarded and kind of running with things by themselves. So just have that expectation going in that you will be not as productive. And yes, you probably can still do things faster if you were doing it yourself, but the whole point is to let it go and have somebody else do it. So that would be number two. And then number three, I would say probably hire somebody who has experience for what you want help with. So a lot of times we think, oh, I'll hire somebody who's very, very young and inexperienced and I'll train them. But depending on where you're at in your business, that can totally work. But you could also hire somebody who knows what they're doing and save yourself some of that headache. So that's kind of been another learning experience for myself.
Fantastic.
That's excellent. Great. I love the fact that you said point two is really resonates for me, because I see so many people hire someone and not realize that their workload is kind of almost going to double in the first little bit because they've got to onboard this person. And typically what happens is they get frustrated, annoyed, and fire the person and say, you know what, it's just easier to do it myself. And that's a massive mistake, because it happens with anyone that you hire, really. And if you spend the time and make it work, in 12 months time, your business will be much further along than if you give up and go back to doing everything yourself.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Barb. I was about to make the exact same point. And just to add to that is this is really the difference between what I would call an investment mindset versus an expense mindset. And if you're viewing having these people on as an expense, then I think you'll quickly get rid of them, because the time, additional time it takes to get them up and running, it'll be a cost. But if you understand that you're investing in this person, and by investing the time and the little bit of money to help them understand the tasks that you want done in the way you want them done, it will make you 10 times the investment long run.
Well, I mean, look at you, Natalie. You've gone from being a consultant doing everything yourself to having a team of 7 people, having a baby, and having a thriving business that is scalable.
So, absolutely. I mean,
that's what you've achieved in how many years? It's only been a few years. So, you know, I think that's absolutely amazing, the journey that you've been on and continue on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to go to what Matt was saying about that investment mindset. You know, I definitely had that similar mindset in the beginning where I was like, oh man, like I should just keep doing everything myself. But what I realized is, if you think about like the stock market, if you invest in the stock market, you know, a return of like, you know, 5 to 10% is kind of, you know, all you can really expect, right?
Yeah.
And if you invest in an employee, first of all, you don't have to give your whole investment up front. You pay every month, which is kind of nice. And then secondly, you are practically guaranteed, 100% or 50% or however, you know, much higher percentage return on that kind of investment. So to me, that's been like a no-brainer. Once I kind of got that, things started to change.
I love that analogy. Coming from the investment background myself, that makes total sense. In fact, that would make sense to anyone listening to that. Man, you'd be the same.
Absolutely. I'm just drawing a picture of it. That's brilliant. That's awesome. Natalie, is there any other advice you'd love to share with the community on any tips or tricks in enhancing their experience with virtual assistants?
Yeah, I think the more you can document, and actually I know we kind of talked about it in the beginning, but I think the more you can document how you want things done, then it can really just start to happen without you, which I think is great. The other thing that we've started doing, which I think is also really helpful, is how can you explain to the people who are going to be working on a task what it means in the big picture of your business? So kind of like the why behind this thing, so that people are a little bit more engaged and aware of the context of the task or the project. So for us, you know, we try to think about it, you know, how is this going to help us make and sell software better that can really help our customers do better in their businesses, right? So if that's our big picture and our big context, then it makes it really clear, like this little thing that I'm working on today actually fits into this big picture, and it's a lot more motivating and a lot more likely that the person will come up with new ideas and new ways of doing things that are going to help you reach those goals. So to me, that has been kind of a big game changer.
I just did a little fist pump in the air as you said that, because it's something I talk about a lot. And I think it's a beautiful message to end on, because it really, what you're essentially saying there is you're bringing your team into the vision of your business and where the whole strategic thing is going, and not just firing a task at them. And that's just their job. And that's, you know, it ends there. You want them to feel like they're part of the entire vision.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're building amazing stuff for people, so let's do it, you know, with that intention in mind, right? I think it's a great way to go, for sure.
Natalie, thank you so much for your time today. And look, if people want to, look, Access Alley is a fantastic piece of software. So if people want to get into the Access Alley, Pop-Up Alley thing, where should they go to find out about you and your business?
Yeah, so they can go to ambitionally.com and then they'll see Access Ally, Progress Ally, Pop-Up Ally, all of our tools there. And then also I have a podcast called Off the Charts. So if you are enjoying podcasts and you can download them, just go to Off the Charts Business in iTunes or whatever, Stitcher Radio, whatever you use to listen to podcasts, and you'll find that there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Matt, that was fantastic.
It was. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And, you know, guys, if you enjoyed this show and you want to hear more amazing guests, you know, remember to follow us on our Virtual Success Facebook group and let us know your feedback. Give us comments on the show. We'd love a rating and a bit of a review on iTunes if you can. If you're enjoying the show, share it with your people. Let us know anyone you'd like us to interview or any topic you want us to cover, and Matt and I will get straight onto it. So until next time, thanks, everyone, and enjoy your week.
Thank you for listening to the Virtual Success Show. If you found this show helpful, take a moment to share it with a friend so that we can all grow together. Find out more about the inside scoop on outsourcing success by going to our website, virtualsuccessshow.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.